And we begin this service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity of Love. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's very good to be together, and it's great to see each of you in the sanctuary today. Thank you for your presence, and we welcome everyone online, wherever you might be, and whenever you might experience this service, and we send the love of God to you and feel your presence with us today. Just a couple announcements for the community. You can find all this online at the church website or in the bulletin. And we have a one-day in-person song and silence retreat led by our own Beverly McCune. And that will be on Saturday, October 22nd from 9 to 3. It's a wonderful opportunity to integrate chant and song into your meditative prayer practice. It's here at the church in person only. Then we have an online forgiveness retreat coming up, led by Mary Dwyer. It'll be a Friday evening and a Saturday retreat, online only. It's entitled the Online Forgiveness Prayer Workshop. For those of you who don't know Mary Dwyer, she's been very integrated in the contemplative outreach and Christian community, contemplative Christian community for a long time, and integrates the silence of meditative prayer with the power of forgiveness and its importance in our lives. Letting go, letting go, letting go. Also, you can register for all our centering prayer retreats online. You can go to the church website and see the ones that are upcoming and register there if you're wondering or if you're at home browsing now. Just one note, we're not going to have coffee fellowship in the fellowship hall today. We have a meeting in the fellowship hall, so unfortunately you have to go somewhere else for coffee, but we'll resume that next week. And then also last week we began intinction. You can see here on the Lord's table the clear glasses are for those among us who wish to dip our piece of bread into the cup. Please be mindful of the rim with your fingers, but you can dip it in there and then partake. And we are aware that there are some who wish to do this rather than partake by mouth. So these two intinction cups will be the last cups on either side. I encourage you to go to that cup if you so wish. Also, we do have our bulletin, and I encourage everyone to take it home. We end up recycling a lot of these, which is fine, but they're produced just for you. And I encourage you to take them home as a resource, ponder them, the image, the welcome, the greeting, the statements on the back of the church, the mission statement, etc. And take that as a resource. There's no sense in us printing them if they're just going to be recycled. So just really take them with you. Take them home. You can recycle them at home if you wish. But it's a blessing to have the bulletin, especially for our newcomers, and especially welcome any newcomers today. If you're here for the first time, I'd love the privilege of meeting you after service. I'll be up here. And just welcome you. Everything you need to know about the service is in the bulletin. So if you don't have a bulletin, you can slip back and get one. All the chants, all that you need to know to follow along and partake fully is in the bulletin. So good to be together today in the house of the Lord. People all around the world are gathering in worship on this full moon October. And we just give thanks for the gift of being human, connected by the power of the Holy Spirit. So why are you here? You've made an effort. Thank you so much. Ask the Spirit to bless you, to speak to you, and to bless your neighbors you sit beside today. We welcome the company of your Spirit in each of our lives and ask for your blessing upon this service. Send us home changed and transformed, never the same, in your love. Amen.
Let's come together in the Spirit with our opening song, Holy Spirit, Come. Let us stand and know together that the gospel in one word is love.
Love. Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Well, good morning, and it's very good to be back. We're going to talk about the power of prayer, particularly this quality of prayer that we just heard read about. That prayer we'll get to in a little bit, but I just want to say a couple of the two things before we talk about that powerful, higher, deeper prayer that all of us need in our lives and what this world really needs. But the passage that Valerie just read is the morsel of morsels. It perhaps maybe, if I were to be asked, if you had one scripture to memorize, that would be it of the whole Bible. It's from Ephesians chapter 3, section from 14 to 21, verses 14 to 21. If you just wanted to know the power of what the Christian spiritual life is and how, without being a theologian, St. Paul works out the doctrines of theology and the Trinity there. It's all there in its primordial treasure, just waiting for people to ponder the mysteries of what he is saying. It's such a beautiful passage, and I would encourage you to and commend it to your heart to memorize it. There are four treasures hidden there, and we'll talk about those in a moment. But before I get into that, I wanted to say a couple of things on a personal level. The first is that I wanted to thank these beloveds in this community who stand in when I'm away and when others are away, filling in. And I wish for more and more fruitfulness in that dimension, that more of us would be arising to play the role of teacher, and the ones who have that spiritual gift. I'm not the only one who has the spiritual gift of teaching, although I've been doing it a long time. Many of us in this community, and some of us in this room, have the gift of teaching, the spiritual gift of teaching. And it hasn't been cultivated for one reason or another. It's one of those harder gifts to cultivate. The downside of the gift of spiritual teaching is the sin of inflation and spiritual pride. And so one has to be very careful with this gift and be under authority all the time. First and foremost, the authority of the Word of God, the Scriptures. And first and secondary is the authority of the church, the authority of the Word of God, and the authority of the ecclesia, the community. The community holds us under authority. But there are several people in this community I just want to thank in particular who rose to that occasion. Karen Betts led and taught the Wednesday, one of the first Wednesdays I was gone. And then Sharon Johnson led last week's Wednesday class service. And I just wanted to thank them personally. And then last week we had Tim back. And for those of you who don't know, Tim Cook and Barbara Cook are the founders of this church. They served as its ministers for over 30 years. And last Sunday was the first time I invited Tim to come back to minister from this chair on a Sunday morning. It was the first time in 5 years that he had been back. And I wanted to thank him for that. And what a beautiful witness he and Barbara are to us as a community of people who have been faithful through so many storms and difficulties and so much upheaval and so much fruitfulness in life. And they have remained under the authority of the Word of God, under the authority of the silence, and under the authority of the wisdom tradition. And they're beautiful examples of that for all of us. And I want to thank Mary Ann Best for holding center for us in our school and also for our worship last week. I wonder what it was like for you last week to receive the gift of Tim's presence back here on a Sunday morning. I'm curious what that was like for this community. To some of you hear Tim, see Tim for the first time, or some of you who loved Tim and were with Tim and Barbara for maybe decades and you came back just to hear him. I wonder what it was like last Sunday for you. And perhaps at our community sharing in 2 weeks we can have some of that feedback. But I also wonder what it was like for Tim to be back. And I could only tell so much watching the video. He kind of hinted at it when he got up in the chair. He said, I don't have words to describe what I'm feeling right now. And he left it there. I would like to know if he's found the words. So I might ask him this week what he was feeling. Must have been pretty unique, I would think, for him to be back in this role. Anyway, we're honored to have these emeritus beings in our community still. And, you know, we complete 5 years on our journey of this transition. This October, this November 1st, marks my beginning of my 6th year here, if you can believe it. And so we've been through a lot as a community and made a transition that if you were a betting person, you wouldn't have bet on me. So you know, it's one of these things where it was just a wondering, how's this thing going to unfold? And so we give thanks to God for the faithfulness of the Spirit holding us as we grow. So the reason I was away was because Marcia McKeehan and I were married in Aspen. And Marcia and I have kept us very quiet and off the subject. But we've known each other since 2008. And so we've known each other a long time, and we fell in love during the pandemic and got engaged in 2021 and wanted to wait a while to get married for reasons that are known to us and wise reasons. But it was such a joy for us to go up to the mountains and get married under the shadow of the Snowmass Monastery there, and just so beautiful. We didn't get to be married at the monastery, but nearby. And it was a holy and sacred and most joyful weekend of my life, truthfully. I think I discovered I have 9 or 10 different centers. The sevens just blew out. I was so excited, so happy, and it was a joyful weekend. The weaving of my family with her family, meeting for the first time, and our old friends coming together, meeting for the first time. We were so, so blessed by that gathering and that weekend. And Marcia's not here. She'd love to be here, but a couple days before we left for our wedding week, we had to rush our 2.5-year-old granddaughter to Dell Children's. She's very, very sick, and the doctor said, you need to go immediately. And she was diagnosed that day with a certain type of leukemia. And so the little grandchildren, the 5-year-old and the 2.5-year-old, they got their wedding dresses ready. They were going to be the flower girls, and Marcia's daughter, Allison, her only daughter, and son-in-law, Lee, we were so excited as a family to celebrate, and they were not able to come. Little Reese, 2.5-year-old, is in quarantine, as you can imagine, with zero immune system, being treated with chemo and spinal taps and whatnot. And so Marcia is quarantining as the primary care, one of the primary caregivers for Allison, Eliza, the 5-year-old. So we're taking care of our 5-year-old granddaughter while the family's taking care of little Reese. So appreciate your prayers for Reese and people all around the world praying for her healing. And it's one of those things where they say leukemia can be treated very well in children and when they catch it like this. But it was one of those moments in life where we were just so excited for this weekend and had been planning it and preparing for it. And so there was a bittersweetness about it because they weren't there to participate. So you can imagine and you can feel into that sense of sorrow amidst the joy. And so anyway, Marcia is not here and won't be here for about a month because she's helping care for the family. And so that's why I was away last week, and felt it was important to have Tim here anchoring for that closing and beginning of an octave for myself and for the church in some ways. So thanks for indulging that personal note, and let's just turn to the scriptures and ponder for our lives. Tim last week gave a charge. He's given a lot to this community over the years, and he repeated what he felt Bernadette was telling him to do, and that was the most important thing. And perhaps you all heard it too. What did he say? 3 words? Practice, 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 yeah. And, you know, so you ask the question, well, what do you practice? What does he mean by that? What does it mean? And on the one hand, you know, you could say, well, certainly what Tim is meaning by practice is, I think the first thing he's meaning is sit in the silence in the morning and the evening for 20 minutes and do your centering prayer practice. I think that's the primary thing that Bernadette was inviting us to, and what Tim is inviting us to, what the wisdom of the contemplative tradition is inviting humanity to, is to come and be still and know that I am God, to get out of the way. And we all know that when we start sitting down to practice, it's called practice because we never become an expert at it. And there's no way to fail at centering prayer other than by not doing it. And so practice is something we're always just living into, because it's an act of humility to say, I'm never a master, I'm never a pro. There isn't a pro level. at this. There's just a continuous deepening surrender and letting go and letting go and letting go and letting go of discovery. And that's the real joy, is that edge of discovery of what is this? What's next? What's next? What's next? And, you know, interestingly, on the spiritual journey, as many of the wise ones who have gone before us, who have left records, including Bernadette, but many, many other saints, she's not the only one who had no self-experiences. And there are many others, witnesses to these experiences. But one of the interesting paradoxes for all of us on the spiritual journey is that this practice thing becomes, in a certain sense, more challenging because the pleasure of the meditation experience diminishes. For many of us, the pleasure of feeling all the goodies and the warmth and the feeling of growth and the springtime of faith goes away as we go deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's as if Spirit, God, is saying to us, will you love me now, even if you don't have those feelings of affectivity toward me, even if you feel nothing, even if it's a dark night, so to speak, where you feel clouded over and nothing is there, or you see nothing, sense nothing, feel nothing. Even when you're going through those purgative experiences where you're just kind of like vomiting up psychic debris from a lifetime, even then, practice. So it's so paradoxical. The deeper we go sometimes, the harder it gets on our spiritual journeys. And one of the vulnerabilities or the great temptations of the spiritual journey, if you can read about all these temptations, by the way, in a non-kind of contemplative way in Pilgrim's Progress, famous book, great English spiritual writer, Pilgrim's Progress, identifies all the pitfalls of the spiritual journey. But one of the great pitfalls of the spiritual journey for all of us is what is known as acedia, or that sense of just kind of giving up and becoming depressed, or on the one hand, just kind of lazy about our spiritual journey and letting go of our practices. And so that's one of the things that all of us can encourage one another, that there are different things that need to come to us in different seasons of our spiritual journey. And this is why it's not a one-size-fits-all. And that we can be gracious to one another and recognize that for each stage and phase of our life, including the elder years and the younger years, and all the things that go on in between. I watch parents, for example, my daughter-in-law now, I watch her spend her soul pouring out to her granddaughter. And I think, not a second available for any spiritual practice that we would say is a spiritual practice. Not a second in her day is available. But she is in this zone of pure, holy love of God. She is not just a practice, she's a saint. That's what's happening. And I think there's a lot of moms and dads out there who become saints by this selfless giving of their energy, their time, their sleep, their money, their concern, their counsel to their kids and their grandkids. It works the other way. The pendulum swings in the other direction, too, when it comes to kids, grandkids. We can be quite mean and abrasive to them. And this is something where we can grow and be healed and get our healing from our childhood wounds healed through that. So this invitation to practice comes down to this beautiful gift of prayer and the gift of meditative prayer in particular. So how this affects our bodies is very interesting. And I just want to spend a moment connecting this practice with our bodies, because as we get older, or even not even that old, as we experience illness or injuries, we have to adapt our prayer practice so that our bodies can adapt to it. So for example, maybe perhaps when you were younger, you were able to sit in a lotus or a half lotus situation, or you were able to just sit cross-legged on the floor and do your meditation time. And maybe now you can't. I have a very hard time sitting because of an injury to the base of my spinal cord. And so there's pain oftentimes involved. And people sometimes have to adapt how they meditate or how they pray, because their body, they just have to be honest and humble about, my body can't do this anymore. And so if you can't sit, you know, lie down and do your prayer practice. The passage today suggests that one of the earliest ways people prayed and got involved in their bodies and got their bodies involved in prayer was through kneeling. And the word isn't particularly precisely clear in Greek. It's both the word for kneeling and bowing. And do you know that the word for prayer, the Greek word for prayer, is prosuke, which means to kneel or to bow? It's where we get the word prostrate from. So the heart of prayer was always this surrender to that which is higher, which is, I think, that beautiful first step, I think, in the tradition of the recovery communities, that you aren't God. You just got to let go. And one of the ways in which we do that physically, embodied, is getting down on our face, getting down on our knees, bowing. Many religious communities around the world in all the different traditions bow when they pray, and whether it's chanting or whether they're doing the dhikr in the Sufi tradition, they're getting down on their knees all the way. And when monks or priests take their ordination vows, they literally prostrate themselves on the ground. They get the body involved. And that's the first insight for us in terms of what prayer is. If you can't do centering prayer, or if you don't have a twice daily centering prayer practice, just lie on the floor and say, "Here I am, Lord. Help me." Like Tim said last week, you know, just ask the Holy Spirit for help. Just get down on your knees as an act of surrender and lift up those hands. This is your practice. This can be your practice if you can't meditate for 20 minutes a day. Just try that. And they had encapsulated the ancient tradition of the monks starting in the 200s and 300s. They had encapsulated the spirit of this gesture of consent and kneeling. When they couldn't, they had encapsulated into a little phrase, "Lord God Almighty, have mercy upon me. Make haste to help me." And that evolved into the Jesus Prayer, which was the first type of meditative one sentence that emerged in Christianity, that emerged later as a one-word prayer, like centering prayer. Take a word and use it and return to it when you notice you're engaged with your thoughts. But that first emerged as that prayer sentence, "Lord God, have mercy upon me, make haste to help me." And that encapsulated this gesture that we're getting on our knees. And so this deep prayer, this higher prayer, can begin with the body, even though you may not understand it or even though you may not feel like praying. You know, just take a second to get the body involved in the prayer and do that. Hands, kneeling, or literally on the ground. Most human beings don't naturally tend toward those positions unless an event or circumstance triggers that, that overwhelms us or floods our emotions, or it lifts us up with an exaltation of worship and praise. But most of us don't use our bodies in that way, naturally or instinctively. So we have to consciously involve the body to engage this practice of prayer. So you might just add that to your own journey. If you can't do centering prayer or don't want to do centering prayer for 20 minutes or 30 minutes in the morning or in the evening, just a simple gesture alone, "Thy will be done," can engage one's being in a way that the Lord recognizes, because the Lord draws near to the humble and contrite in spirit. And the Lord works in those whose hearts are hardened and proud and haughty, especially when it comes to spiritual pride. There's a great awakening, a fall, for those in that state of spiritual pride. It was the first sin in the sweep of this little center of our cosmos under the name of Lucifer, who was the first created angel. And so God has no opposite. There is no opposite to God. The devil or Lucifer isn't the opposite to God. Lucifer fell. Lucifer was the first created angel. And it's a warning to all of us who engage in these practice things, to be aware and alert of the sin of spiritual inflation and spiritual pride and how that can creep into our lives, and to watch for that diligently and to ask for a word from the Lord. One of the ways you can buffet your own journey of avoiding or working through spiritual pride where it appears, where it rises up, you may not be able to see it in yourself, but others can see it. But one of the ways we can work on that, like sandpaper, is by using the body to humble itself in contrition. And the ancients called this the prayer of tears, or the prayer of compunction. That was the technical term for it. The prayer of the sorrow of the heart. And it wasn't a morose thing like, you know, I'm a sinner, you know, terrible me, despicable me. It was this warm tears of it's hard to put it on, but it's called the gift of tears. And it's the sweetest of sweet gifts. And it is the manifestation of humility in our lives in a physical embodied way. And so if you can't, well, fake it until you make it, or act as if, and it's one of the euphemisms in the work, act as if. Well, you know, when you get down on the ground, when you kneel for others in prayer, that's acting as if. And it engages the body in a powerful, powerful way. So just want to move on from that and just touch on these beautiful gifts that St. Paul talks about in terms of prayer. And so first of all, he's kneeling, and then he's kneeling before the Father, which is his way of acknowledging that he's under the authority of beloved source. You can call God, God, God Almighty, God Creator, the Father, whatever, you know, the Transcendent One, the Great Spirit, the Great Mystery. Everyone has different kind of ways of staying in relationship to this beloved source. But the point is that he's not just kneeling for his own sake. He's kneeling before the Father. And this relationship is an inner dimension, and it's hard to describe. It's hard to activate that in a relationship unless you have it. It's hard to understand it when someone doesn't have that in a relationship and you're trying to describe it to them. It's very hard for words to wrap around this relationship of the inner being and the inner life to beloved source, to Father. But this is so beautiful. He's kneeling before the Father. And this is what he says. He prays four things for his community in Ephesus. He's writing a letter to these people that he was far away from. He had only met them a few times, but he loved them, and he prayed for them, and he wished for them these four things. And so I just take this as an example. Here is a beginning. Here's the beginning of the stream of Christianity that would become the mighty Mississippi, so to speak. Centuries would fly by, but here's the headwaters of Christianity in its very original form. And you can just go to this clear stream and drink from it. And if it's good for St. Paul, it's good for us. Now let's listen to these things that he's praying for other people. And this is a part of our practice. Practice, practice, practice praying like this for other people. Practice, practice, practice praying like this for yourself, for your loved ones. It's not a mystery. Here it is. Listen to these four things. I pray that, one, you would be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit. Have you ever prayed for someone to be strengthened in their inner being with power by the Spirit? I pray, Lord, that I would be strengthened in my inner being with power by your Spirit. I need that power. Life is hard. Surprises come. Difficulties arise. I keep failing in this particular area. I'm humbled, humbled, humbled. I'm broken open. I need your spiritual power in my inward being. That person over there, I see they're struggling. They're coming up against the wall. The door's not opening. The way's not clear. They're clouded in their vision. They're burdened in their heart. They're beaten down in their body. I pray in their spiritual being they would be strengthened with power through the Spirit. There you go. Practice, practice, practice saying that for someone else, for your own life. It's a beautiful, beautiful declaration and affirmation of using your words with great power. Number two, he prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love, strengthened with power in your inner being, and that you would experience the quality, the state of Christ dwelling in your heart. Just think about that for a moment, that you would experience Christ dwelling in your heart. That's such a beautiful statement. That's the highest theology, that you would experience Christ dwelling in your heart. He doesn't say the Spirit. He doesn't say God Almighty, the Creator. He says Christ dwelling in your heart. And the word dwell literally means that you might experience down into the totality of every cell of your being permanently Christ dwelling in your heart. That you might experience down into the totality of every cell of your being permanently this experience of Christ. It's a powerful statement, that you might be infused like if I were to spray perfume into this room, that it would be infused into every molecule and every cell of this space, and no one would miss it, and that that fragrance would be dwelling in this room, that Christ would dwell in your heart in such a way that you would become the manifestation of Christ. Or another way of saying that, that you could say that, that Christ may be at the center of your being, that you would be so centered by this presence that it would be all of you, that it would be consuming you, that it would be Christ. So united to God's love that you can't tell where you end and God begins. That's Christ, the mystery of the union of the divine in you. And also, it has a lot to do with Jesus, that I want to love the way Jesus loved God. In the manner Jesus loved God the Father, I wish to love God the Father. I don't know how to love God the Father any better than Jesus demonstrated how to love God the Father. Jesus shows me how to love God the Father, and it's in that manner that Jesus, as Christ, dwells with me in the center of my being more and more and more and more. Through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. It's so beautiful that this experience of experiencing Christ in us is one of faith that's growing in a manner more and more toward love. That love is the indication of faith in someone's life. That love is the indication of faith in one's life. And that faith produces love, not superiority. It's beautiful. It's the essence of the Christian message. They will know we are Christians by our love. The third thing, in addition to being strengthened in our inner being, that Christ would dwell in our hearts, the third thing he's praying is that we would have the power to comprehend or understand and experience the love of Christ. What a beautiful thing to pray for someone. I pray that my beloved would have the power, the capacity to receive and feel the love of Christ and grow in understanding of that love and relationship. That's something to practice, practice, practice. Practice praying that someone would be strengthened in their inner being. Practice praying that Christ would dwell in their being. Practice praying that they would have the power to comprehend the love of God more and more in their life. This culture needs to experience that power, the love of God in our lives. And we can pray that for our brothers and sisters, our family members, our culture, that this culture would be infused with the ability to understand, not just mock, the love of God in our lives. And fourthly, Paul prays that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. We're going to talk about this next week. It's called theosis. And this is an extraordinary statement for a man who is a Jewish Pharisee of Pharisees, who killed people who even blasphemed or said the name of God wrong, or just broke one little tiny law of the Jewish tradition. But here he's saying, he's praying that you and I, that the church that he prayed for and loved and visited, that his friends and neighbors, that they would all come to know and be filled with all the fullness of God. Listen to that extraordinary ebullience of language, that you would be filled with the fullness of God, that it would be ebullating, literally bubbling out over you and through you, that you would be filled with the fullness of God. Is that even possible? Is that even possible? The great mystics would talk about this as a consummation of the love kiss, of the union of being pregnant with Christ and birthing Christ. St. Paul would talk about it in those terms, that Christ would be born or formed in you, and that he was in labor pains until Christ was formed in them. This is a beautiful vision. St. Paul was a great mystic. He understood the mystery of what the Spirit was doing by way of this formation of Christ in us and that relationship to God the Father. Practice, 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 praying for others, praying for yourself, that each of us would be strengthened in our inner being, that each of us would experience Christ dwelling more and more in our hearts through faith, that each of us would have the power to comprehend and know the love of God, and that each of us would be filled with all the fullness of God. If you've ever wondered what Christianity is, what Christianity can become, what spiritual life is, there you have it, in just simple terms. There you go. Practice, practice, practice. And the beauty of silence, the beauty of meditative prayer, was one way in which the early monks answered the question, how do I pray ceaselessly? How do I pray without end? St. Paul urges them to pray ceaselessly. Do not stop praying. Well, the only way you can pray ceaselessly in any real way is by being prayed. You and I cannot pray ceaselessly. We're distracted constantly by life. But we can be prayed. That's like us being breathed. If you've noticed, you probably haven't been paying attention to your breathing. But you've been breathing. And our hearts have been beating. We are being lived, as Tim liked to say. In the same way, we can be prayed, which takes us to a whole nother level of surrender. When we can't pray ourselves, we are prayed. And that is the beautiful ocean of God's grace that swallows us up and takes us to a whole nother place, which we'll talk about next week, God willing. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence. Just be with your breath and let whatever landed speak to you as an encouragement, as a therapy. Embody in each of us this prayer, Lord, that our bodies would manifest the energy of humility toward ourselves and toward others, and fill each of us with this capacity to pray and to be prayed. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, enfolded in the presence rare of one who fills with truth and light the one who the stillness of this silent hour brings peace, goodwill, and conscious power. The time of silence is to me eternal joy and harmony. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, in love with all hearts everywhere. is but the home of all that is in each pure soul. Through Christ the truth I now behold, the oneness of all life unfold. I think this loving thought and feel the beauty Christ the truth reveals. The beauty Christ the truth reveals.
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives.
Most gracious and loving Creator, God of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, we thank you that we come from you and return to you. In between, learn how to love you, one another, and ourselves and this creation. At this table and in our consciousness, we bring to mind concerns and cares and send love to people, especially those who are recovering from storm and too much water and without water. We have empathy in our hearts for all who suffer in this way and pray for their recovery. We remember in our community those who have been lifted up in prayer, remembering today especially John Morrison, the Rhodes family, Francis, Rusty, Reese, Travis. We pray for the healing and wholeness in every dimension of this life and the next. We especially give thanks for the ongoing strength and healing of Fred Sams, who's with us today. We bless Fred and Chris and their wellness. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and we know that you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray with. It lets us know and be certain that you always hear an answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me."
I come to your table hungry. I come to your table hungry. I come to your table hungry to be made new, to be made
table running to
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. I can see your love, see it all around. I can see your love, see it all around. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace.
Thank you each for your presence today, to be a part of this beautiful community of faith in Austin and wherever we go. The love of God is with each of us, and just a reminder, let's declare this truth over our lives and over this church, and especially over people who are losing their jobs or unemployed. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. The love of God, the fullness of Christ's love in each of us, and the power of the Holy Spirit weaves our lives together now and always. Amen. Amen.